Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. My guest today, Dr. Henry Grayson, we are trying to reach him, and it was going to be all about mind power, and I'm hoping he's going to be able to return our call. Apparently, he has gotten involved with a class or something. Use Your Body to Heal Your Mind is the topic we are going to be talking about today as soon as he is able to call in and reach us. Meanwhile, what I wanted to do was share something with you. I'm so delighted you're able to join me today. How many times do we feel like there are no solutions to problems? How many times do we have situations where people will stoically say, this is an impossible thing to deal with? Well, whenever you study history and you look at the advances of technology, any kind of a stepping forward in a big way, there is always this stoicism that says, no, we're not supposed to do that. I love it when I hear people saying, if God had meant us to do that, then it would be in place. And I just have to chuckle because life is full of innovation. And we've got a caller on the line, so I'm going to take this caller, and we're waiting for Dr. Henry Grayson to get us a call. We are expecting that, so there may be an interruption here. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi. Well, this
How are
is,
you?
I'm fine, dear. What's your first name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
Genevieve I. Stone, and I'm calling from San Francisco.
Well, I'm so delighted that you were able to contact us this morning. My goodness, you're out of San Francisco. Genevieve. I have a sister-in-law with that name. That is such a rare name. That is amazing. That is just not a name you hear of anymore. Very rarely is it used. Yes, it is, but you're not, for heaven's sakes. But it's just fascinating how that was given to you. Must be an interesting story behind it. But regardless, let's get down to business with you. The first thing, Genevieve, that I am looking at is you're going to be dipping your mental big toe into the development of an area of skill that you have been apprehensive about doing anything with. And you are going to have to go into what I'd call a supportive educational environment. It is going to be a little bit overwhelming for you, yet you're going to do incredibly well with it. And you're going to find yourself following a whole different direction, a whole different path than you originally thought you would. You're also very creative, artistic in expression. And you like doing things that are outside of the box. And this is very important for you to remember, because you're going to feel many times like you're a misfit, like you are a square peg someone's trying to ram into a round hole. And you say, no, that's not me. And this has been a challenge for you. You don't mind being by yourself. You don't mind doodling or being in nature. You like things very orderly, but your creative side has been somewhat stifled. So you're in the process of taking pieces of barrier that you have put into place. Some of it's been directed by others, but you're putting it into place for yourself, and I'm seeing you just enjoying the process tremendously. Your intuitive abilities are quite high, but without discipline, they're going to be very frustrating to you, and you're going to find yourself feeling more at loose ends than not. And it is only with discipline that you're going to be able to develop and utilize your intuitive skills in a way and manner that you find that you can help other people with whatever their challenges might be. You're an interesting woman because I don't know that you have really come into your own yet. And I think that you've got 10 years ahead of you where I would encourage you to explore, write down your experiences, record your dreams, and don't be afraid to use art as an expression of independent individuality. I think you're going to be quite surprised with how you are going to build a very unique career of your own that will be basically by your own design. So you have so many strong capabilities and talents, and now it's time for you to refine them into a polished product. I don't know if that makes sense to you or not, but that is what I'm looking at, and I think you're going to be very much involved with the manufacturing, I'll use that term, of your own skills and abilities on a very, very high level. Do you have a question for me today?
Not really. That was very, exactly how I feel right now.
Mm-hmm. How old are you, Genevieve?
I'm 20.
All right. What kind of educational programs are you looking at this time?
Right now I'm going to university into my third year, and I'm thinking of switching to English from theology and religious studies.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been really interested in theater, and I want to take some theater classes.
Well, I think that's very good, because I think this is going to enable you to develop a poise in working in front of the public. I'd encourage you, because the public work is very definitely going to be in the picture within 20 years. And there's a lot you must be willing to be open and receptive to. I think the major in English will do well, but I'd also like you to put in a little bit of business study, because in as much as you are going to be running your own business in the coming years, not for a while, but in the coming years, any basic business education that you can get is going to serve you well. So if you are in the process of finishing your bachelor's and you're thinking of going on to a master's, I really want you to have some creative aspects in it. Writing is wonderful, but I'm looking at the arts. So theater is very good. It's a very good complement. But you need to sort of keep an edge of thought. If I were to have the opportunity to go into business for myself, how can I educate myself at this time to enable me to do it efficiently and well in the future?
Okay.
I want to thank you for your call.
Thank you very much.
You are very welcome, dear. Thank you for joining me this morning. This is Donna Sebo, and by the way, I didn't even give out the phone number, but she had it, 888-627-6008. We're trying to reach Dr. Henry Grayson, and so far I have been unsuccessful in doing that, but as soon as he gets through, and he is a very, very busy person, then we will be bringing him on the air. His material, use your body to heal your mind, is just outstanding. Okay, now, I was talking to you about working with problems before Genevieve called, and I wanted to share with you some information about a woman who decided that things need to be worked with differently. At the time this was occurring, and this is a problem we still have today, there's the issue of graffiti. Gangs will mark up walls with spray paint, bridges, you name it, and it really is ugly-looking stuff. It's just unsightly. Well, a woman by the name of Jane Golden, when she was looking at this, she looked at the situation as an opportunity to take the talents of the street kids and make them work in a different way. In other words, instead of saying, gee, this is bad, we are going to just whitewash everything and these are bad kids. She said, there's got to be another way to work with it. Now, Jane Golden was very much a professional herself as an artist. In fact, she did major murals, and thousands upon thousands of people just absolutely loved what she did. She became quite ill with lupus, and a lot of her work she had seen vandalized by graffiti. She was very disappointed about what was happening, but she thought there has to be a solution to this. She ended up settling down in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and she decided she was going to put together a program. Now, the program was this. Anyone that was found to be a wall scrawler, who had messed up her work, she decided she was going to make those artists, if you will, or would-be artists, get involved with murals. She was setting herself to the task of saying, if you want to do this, I dare you to do something better. By golly, do you know it worked? Now, this is what she did. There was a man by the name of Tim Spencer who founded Philadelphia's Anti-Graffiti Network. She linked up with him, and they started a neighborhood program that involved kids in painting city murals. And I think we've all seen something like this occur. I know in Los Angeles I've seen it, and in other parts of the country. What happened is the kids had to go to workshops in the fall and in the winter. And then they had to do their painting during the spring and the summer. Do you know that at the time this happened, 30,000 youngsters plus participated in the program in its first 7 years. These kids painted 900 murals, and do you know few of those murals have ever been defaced with graffiti? An amazing accomplishment. Her story, and you're not going to hear very much about this in most places, when I came across this information about this woman who said, I have an idea. She decided she was going to fight differently against a behavior, an action that really didn't need to have to happen. So the point is, what is it we could do wherever we are to encourage maybe a city program like this? So many times people that are involved in the graffiti have a deep, deep desire and passion for art. They just don't know what to do with it. Their environment might be a pretty ugly one. But if they're held responsible and then made to learn and then go back and paint something or produce something that is going to be pleasing to the eye, it takes what seemingly is an impossibility and turns it into a possibility. I just think this woman is incredibly, incredibly talented. And I just think that her concept and her idea is phenomenal. And that is what we need to remember. Sometimes, by making people accountable and say, you have to do something to amend what has been done, can turn their lives around. I wonder, I'm sure nobody's ever done anything with this, but I would be very interested in knowing if any of those young people went on to professional careers in art, and what influence they might have had on other children that their paths, including their own, that their paths would have crossed with. Anyway, Donna Sebo here. We have not been able to reach Dr. Grayson, and we are opening up phone lines, as you already know, at 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. A little bit of trivia that I wanted to share with you is there are so many things that go on in different places that we may not ever have been aware of. And I came across some interesting information. Disneyland, my goodness, Disney World. These are places that are absolutely magical. I think the people that run them do just an incredible job. I think if most businesses could follow that role model of standard that they have. It's just incredible. And it's always a joy to be there. It's just a real pleasure to be in this phenomenally creative, efficient, clean environment that allows you to step into the world of imagination in a magnificent way. Well, they had standards. And I was not aware that there were seven things in particular that all of the Disney parks banned. This is information that I found quite interesting. And one was long hair. Until the late 1960s, men could either have flowing locks or enjoy Adventureland, but they couldn't do both. And if someone that had long hair tried to buy a ticket, one of the people, the cast members, one of the staff, that's what they're called, cast members, they would very politely inform the person that the hairdo didn't work because the park had a dress code. And he'd have to conform or he'd be escorted from the premises. Now, facial hair was another item. Walt Disney had a mustache. Why couldn't anybody else? Well, when it started in 1957, workers at the park could not have long hair, grow beards, or wear mustaches. What was the logic behind this statement, even though Walt Disney had his own mustache? Well, people wouldn't want to buy a $9 soda from some filthy bearded hippie or a mustached Snidely Whiplash type. Now, in 2000, the Disney Corporation was having trouble getting enough manpower to staff its park, so it relaxed the facial hair ban. Employees were finally allowed to grow mustaches, provided they kept them trimmed and groomed. Beards, sorry, they weren't allowed. Also, there were some people that caused some problems, and one of them was Livy. And Livy, when she was 6 years old, she and her older brother used to put the old hairspray on a friend's readmission hand stamp to transfer the stamp to their own skin trick. However, they were discovered. Security nabbed them when they went through the park's turnstiles, and they were banned from the park for a year. Costumes, makeup that could be construed as part of a costume, be part of the dress code, but you have to go easy on the eyeshadow. And a dress code bans clothing that accentuates or draw attention to private areas. So they really had some real strict codes. And do you know what? There is even a ban on kids. That I found amazing. In 2008, children under the age of 10 would no longer be allowed to dine at Victoria and Albert's. Now, this is an exclusive restaurant at the Disney World Grand Floridian Resort and Spa. Disney's officials said, this is a five-star place. This doesn't attract kids anyway. And they only had a fixed-price menu. So they hardly have any youngsters in there. And most moms and dads aren't going to want to pay, you know, $25 for a small plate of salad. So this is something that they put into place. And gum, well, you better just be aware. Walt Disney wanted to make sure that no one chewed gum because he didn't want anybody walking around his park and stepping into gum that had been tossed out on the streets of the Disney parks. So if you want to have some, you have to bring it with you because there's not a shop in the Disney parks that carries gum. And then the last ban, Nikita Khrushchev, when he visited Disneyland, wow, he said, I'd very much like to go and see Disneyland, but we cannot guarantee your security. He said, then what must I do? Commit suicide? What is it? Is there an epidemic of cholera there or something? Or have gangsters taken hold of the place that can destroy me? He never made it to Disneyland. Just a little bit of trivia there. Donna Sebo here. I want to let you know, and if you want to call in, open lines. We have not received a call back from Dr. Grayson. Open lines here at 888-627-6008. I want to let you know about the wonderful lineup that we have next week here on the Donna Sebo Show. On Monday, we're going to be talking about Culturematic. Grant McCracken has done a lot of research on the various aspects of culture that have transformed the American way of life. On Tuesday, we're going to be doing a Best of Donna. I'm going to be speaking at a group in Anacortes, Washington. Reality Shift on Wednesday, Cynthia Sue Larson. This is a woman that has been very dedicated to the studying of mind, and she talks about the shift between different aspects of mind, and I think you'll find her very interesting. A Titleless Leader, Nan Russell. How can you make a difference if you don't have a title? You're not a CEO, you're not a CFO, you're not the CPA, you don't have any title. How can you still be an effective leader? What can you do? We'll find out this week. And Pascalite, the Healing Clay, Jeannie Lockhart, is going to be my guest. This is absolutely an amazing product. It is something that I use. It comes from the hills of Wyoming. The Native Americans used it. Awesome story behind this clay, again, that comes from the hills of Wyoming. Donna Sebo here. We're still trying to reach Dr. Grayson, and we will be taking calls also at 888-627-6008. Oh, my goodness.
Our guest.
Oh, fabulous. We've got Dr. Grayson. Hi, Dr. Grayson.
Hi.
I'm sorry we've just been trying to reach you. I'm so glad you were able to be with us today.
What happened is I was trying to call you when you were trying to call me, then it went into the backup voicemail, and so it didn't come through. So I'm so sorry.
Well, your book is awesome. What I'm going to do is chat with you for a few minutes, then we're going to go on break, and then we'll come back. So for those of you listening, we've been able to reach Dr. Henry Grayson. Use your body to heal your mind. Now, Dr. Grayson, I want people to know that you're a man who has been involved very, very deeply as a psychologist and a psychoanalyst working with people. You're the founder and chairman emeritus of the Board of Trustees of the National Institute for Psychotherapies in New York. You're also the founder and director of the Institute for Spirituality, Science, and Psychotherapy. You've done a number of documentaries. You've been on PBS. You've studied all types of things, and you've put this book together, and I think it is wonderful because it allows us as individuals to really take more of a personal positioning of awareness. So I am so glad you were able to join us. When you've done your research, when you've done this research, what was, for you, the biggest challenge that you felt you needed to overcome in your thinking to be an effective researcher?
Well, that's a good question. I think the main thing that we all have to overcome as human beings is our false sense of powerlessness. Because I think that we all disown so much of our own power, and particularly around this whole area of our own health and well-being. Mm-hmm. And that we think that the cause of sickness is mostly something outside ourselves, and we think that the cure has to be something outside ourselves. And in both instances, we make ourselves as weak and as powerless. And so I know as I was even writing this book, and I was writing about even ways that I've done self-healing, there are moments that would come in where I'd start to get a little symptom. It's almost as if the ego mind would want to distract me from doing this, as if I shouldn't even be writing such a book. And so I had to keep catching those things because we all have an ego mind that wants to oppose us embracing the immense kind of power and resources that we have inside.
I think that is so true, and it is amazing how we're consistently challenged. So many times people think that, gee, once I get it, that's going to be it. But we have so many levels to ourselves. And there are so many little invisible buttons that can be pushed, and we're not even aware of the habit of pushing that button. And all of a sudden, things start challenging us. We go, wow, just like what you said with yourself. Wow, we've got this happening. Oh, I must have done this, that, or the other. I was intrigued also that you use muscle testing. And I find that this is a fascinating way to be able to be in touch with the self. In your work with the muscle testing, you mentioned that it originated with Dr. George Goodhart and was developed further by Dr. John Diamond in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
What made you decide that you were going to incorporate this in your study, and why is it important to understand this?
Well, I know when I first was exposed to it with some study with John Diamond, I wasn't quite sure how it could fit within this kind of work. But I was fascinated by it enough to go and do a seminar with him. And it took me a number of years before I realized that there could be some other kind of use for it. And what I find it's useful for is helping us to access parts of ourselves where we might deceive ourselves. Because if the studies show that 95% of our behaviors are unconscious, that means we're not as conscious as we think we are. In fact, the philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche put it so succinctly when he says, the person we lie to most is ourselves. And if 95% of our behaviors are unconscious, then we're thinking and producing all kinds of things in our lives that are not conscious to us. And I found that muscle testing is a way that we can identify those things and access them. I can find out, for example, if there were literally even traumas in the uterus when I was an infant growing. Are there traumas in the first year of life or during the first 5 years of life when our personalities are being formed? Most of us remember only four or five or six things prior to school age. That's mm-hmm. when we actually form our personalities. And then we forget those things and we wonder why we feel and act and think the way we do. And I find that the muscle testing is a way of accessing that. Or I find people will come to me and say, no, this trauma I had back such and such a time, I've talked about that in therapy for several years. I'm sure that's cleared. Yet the evidence in their life is showing they're still reacting to things as if that was still going on. We do muscle testing. We find, no, indeed, it's not cleared. It might be an 8, 9, or a 10 on a 10-point scale, which mm-hmm. means that the limbic system is remaining overactive, which means it's going to disturb my immune system, which is going to set me up for illnesses in my body. And all those things are there, and I may not even know what's going on unless I can use the testing to discover where it is and what it is.
Doctor, I know we've got to take a break. If you'll stay with me, which I know you will, we're going to come back because your book was not written to, let's say, make people feel like they're a victim of life, to blame. This isn't it. Your book is all about empowering people to recognize that they don't have to carry stuff in their lives that contributes to poor health. Mind and body need to be a team. This is Dr. Grayson, Dr. Henry Grayson. His book is Use Your Body to Heal Your Mind. We're going to be coming back and chatting more about this fascinating subject, which he has a lot of research on. So we'll take a break. We'll be back in just a moment.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in Physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. My guest today is Dr. Henry Grayson. Use your body to heal your mind. Dr. Grayson, your statement in your book, it is mind, energy, and consciousness that rules, that matters. And you go into conversation about how a very, very well-known microbiologist, Rene Dubois, said that most microorganisms are already present in our body. And that is just something for a lot of people that's just not a thought that even crosses their mind. And they only become the cause of a disease when a disturbance arises which upsets the equilibrium of the body. And most of the time, we just treat the symptoms. We don't get to the cause. In your research, what was it that enabled you to find the mind-body connection?
Well, first of all, when we use the phrase the mind-body connection, implies that there can be a disconnection, that they can be separate. And there's no way it could ever even happen that there is not a connection. And the fact that we've thought that we have to connect them as if they're separate has just been an illusion on our part. Because if we take what the quantum worldview is, where everything is all interconnected in one unified field, or we take the holographic view of the universe, where one little piece contains the whole, then the mind-body is really one integrated whole. And we have, if we discount that one, we're discounting a very important factor in our health and our healing. And unfortunately, so much of the medical system we have discounts that and acts as if it's separate. Although they're beginning to recognize a little bit more by, you know, the reporting in the New England Journal of Medicine back in the late 80s was that 80% of symptoms are stress-related. But unfortunately, people didn't take that and take ball and run with it. They would say, stress, okay, you're under stress now, so let me give you a pill. But that's not recognizing that stress comes from my thoughts. Stress comes from unclear traumas that I have. Stress comes from beliefs that I have that are negative. All of these things create stress, and they're the ones that eat away inside and create a different environment for those microbes to begin to multiply in my body.
I have known of so many different individuals in my life, including myself, where the very thing you've just discussed is a reality. And I recognized in my 20s the mind-body connection because of situations I went through physically, condition that I developed that when the doctor discovered it, he said, I don't understand why you haven't been in excruciating pain. This is what's happened. And I went, holy Moses, I'm a very healthy person. What is this? And it was stress-related that. True, but it also was related to the fact that I wasn't wanting to face certain issues. And once I got a treatment, and then once I faced those issues, I didn't have those problems anymore.
That's the key part. That's the key part, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I remember about 25 years ago, I had such a severely degenerated disc that they thought I would not walk again without back surgery. I could not move a centimeter in the bed without feeling like I was being jabbed with an ice pick and then shocked with electricity.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew I did not want back surgery because 68% of the time you're worse off afterward. And those odds were not very appealing, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And so I began to ask myself a series of questions, sort of like you had done yourself. and ones I'd learned to do much earlier, actually, but I had not applied it to anything serious like this before, just to colds and viruses and things like that. But asking myself the question, why might I need this? Why might I need it now? What would it get for me? What would it get me out of doing? What emotion might be expressed in it? And then what belief system might be expressed in it, tribal belief or a family belief system? Mm-hmm. And I opened myself to the most irrational of answers, and I came up with several things I needed to deal with. Two different relationship kind of things. One person I'd felt betrayed by, and I felt hurt and angry. Somebody else I was feeling carrying resentment toward. And then I realized I needed to deal with those personally, and I made a firm commitment to myself exactly when, where, and how I would do that. And then I realized I needed to make some lifestyle changes as well. I'd played sports all my life but never done any stretching. So I made a vow that I would start doing a regular practice of yoga and doing the stretching asanas. And then I realized I'd never done anything to deal with stress in any direct way. If I was really upset about something, well, I was never a heavy drinker, but if I got really upset, I'd go make myself a scotch on the rocks and think that would take care of it. When I realized, no, I'm going to learn the practice of meditation regularly so I can reduce stress ongoingly every day, I made a commitment to all four of those things that I knew absolutely I would keep. They weren't just something, maybe I'll start them someday, but no, I'm going to do these things. Immediately, my back started to feel better, and within 2 months, I was skiing in Colorado. Then the most amazing thing happened is I kept practicing all those things in place and kept dealing with things directly. I went for a routine physical exam maybe 6 or 8 years ago, and the doctor insisted that I have a chest x-ray because I had not had one for over a decade. And so finally talked me into it, and he came back saying, Henry, your lungs are fine. But then he added, says, but you won't believe this. That degenerated disc of yours, it's regenerated. That's not supposed to happen. It's a miracle. How can that be?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I believe it, and I'm deeply grateful.
Absolutely.
And what I realized, it was really my mind that ruled there, that I needed to make those commitments to deal with things differently in my life. And as a result, I was pain-free even when I shouldn't be, according to the x-rays in my back. And then, because I continued those practices and dealt with those things differently, actually that disc began to restore itself. And the x-ray showed that it was restored.
You have.
That was a real convincing truth to me that mind rules.
Absolutely. You have the six questions that you show in your book. You also have a self-awareness questionnaire. And I was, when I went through it, I was really amazed at how extensive the questioning is. And that, to me, is very, very significant because you're wanting people, this is for the individual themselves. This isn't meant to be shared with everybody else in the world. And one of the things you say is be honest with yourself. This is just for you to work through. Be honest with yourself. I think so many times, dependent on what our life experiences have been, we hesitate to really be honest about things that have wounded us or that we're angry about. It's a very delicate balance. We don't want to feel vulnerable. We don't want to be blamed. We don't want to be called stupid, ugly, whatever negative term could be thrown at you. Mm-hmm. And let's face it, there are always those people that love to sit and tell you how much you don't know about your own life. So your book goes such a long way towards saying, empower yourself. I want you to take the power for yourself. Do it for you. Don't worry about anybody else's judgments. This is not judgmental here. This is bring stuff out into the light so that you can really see it for what it is and get your life back. That, to me, is extremely powerful. And we have this duality in ourselves, our own personal internal barriers, and you bring, and I'm quoting from your book relative to the section on traumas that you have, a weakened immune system obviously sets us up for disease. And invariably, if you talk to someone that is going through a critical care situation, and I know four or five people right at this moment, clients, dear friends, very critical situation, and I could tell you within 5 minutes what's at the base of it because it is very emotional. Both of them One's male, one's female. Both of them have a similar disease. Both of them have very low self-esteem. Both of them are carrying pain and agony, addiction memories from the past. They've not been able to release them. And so they have this disease. It really is a sad thing to observe. And the immune system really gets pounded on. And they're getting all kinds of medicine and treatment and chemo and, I mean, you name it. And if they survive, it'll be a miracle.
Well, unfortunately, the chemo or the medicines mostly just deal with the symptoms directly in a linear way.
Mm-hmm.
They don't go back to what the real cause is, which is my need for it. And I don't mean need because I'm bad. It means my need for it because I've needed to clear my traumas, or my need for it because it might bring me some secondary gain.
Mm-hmm.
That I learned as a child that maybe the only way I ever got love and attention was when I got sick. And if I was strong and healthy, Dad or Mom never paid any attention to me at all. That doesn't make me a bad person. That doesn't mean I need to blame myself. It's just information I need to uncover or discover. That's why I don't like the word recovery, because we don't want to cover up things anymore. It's the covering them up that's helped us be sick. I don't want mm-hmm. people to recover. I want them to discover or uncover. And then as we can discover what is there and what the causes are, then we take our power back and we can clear those, because now there are methods available that whether it's bilateral stimulation of the brain or whether it's some stimulating of acupressure points, but combined with statements of conscious intentionality, these are extremely effective and powerful for clearing effects of traumas, for clearing negative belief systems and so on, for clearing negative emotions that we've been sustaining. And having studied most of the major forms of psychotherapy, I found these in my whole career to be much more powerful for these areas than anything I'd ever discovered before. And for traumas, for example, yes, sometimes to talk to somebody about one with somebody that's where it's always been a secret and you finally can connect, it might be of help. But we find a lot of times just talking about a trauma may actually, if you're doing a brain scan study, might be just rehearsing it, might be activating it further. And if I'm activating it further, I'm causing the stress hormones to pour out more. If I'm causing those to pour out more, then I'm going to be affecting my body and my health, not helping it.
You have a quote by Ralph Waldo Emerson that I really like. Be not the slave of your own past. Plunge into the sublime seas, dive deep, and swim far. So you shall come back with self-respect, with new power, with an advanced experience that shall explain and overlook the old. I just think those words
are... You really had it down, didn't you?
Yes, he did. I mean, here is a man who got to the real depth of this. Let's talk about muscle testing for a while here.
Mm-hmm.
How can someone do this effectively? And if you don't have a partner to work with, because you bring out how to do it in your book with someone else, can you do it by yourself? And if so, what would you recommend?
Yes, you can do muscle testing by yourself, but it's more difficult for it to be accurate. Because when I do it just on myself, it's easy for my ego wish or my ego fear to come in contaminated.
Mm-hmm.
And so I find that the muscle testing, when two minds are joined together and searching just for what is the truth here, and with a desire to just know something for the purpose of the well-being of that person, that joining and purity of intention is what makes it really effective and really truthful. On the other hand, if we don't have somebody to do the muscle testing, then that's why I put in the things like the questionnaire in the book, or the asking oneself those five questions or six questions. And if we do those with great intention and with real sincerity, we can come up with a lot of the same kind of answers, and many of the ones that we can do clearing on. Then hopefully, for things that are more complex, we can find somebody who can do the muscle testing with us and get to the more complicated things. But it is true that the self-testing may not be always that accurate. I find in doing it on myself, my wish or my fear often contaminates it.
Very interesting. You talk about genetic memory in the cell, and we all know that this is something scientifically that has been shown to evolve. We can look at our own families. I can look at mine. I can relate to one female in the family that had never had a contact with her father, yet she is an absolute duplicate, personality-wise, everything. And friends have said, how can that be possible? How can this be repeated in this individual when they weren't even raised with this person? How did this get passed on? So we've all seen things, whether it's physiological, many times psychological. There are these patterns that have this imprint, and yet we can disengage from those. And this is what I think is so fascinating. We actually can shift and change things. And you talked in your book about a woman who was diagnosed with hypoglycemia. All of her family had a history of diabetes, yet she didn't become diabetic because she took a positioning. Tell us about her, because she just really made a difference.
Well, both parents and all four grandparents were all diabetic. So her odds, according to statistical analysis, would be pretty much 1,000% that she would become diabetic. But what she did was a lot of other practices to stay healthy. She did regular meditation. She did a lot of monitoring her thoughts. She did exercise. She did a whole variety of things like that to reduce her stress level and to hold the consciousness of something else. But tied in with this is this, you know, we were taught in school that genetics were pretty much etched in stone. Once you had those genetic tendencies, that's it. But now there's a new field called epigenetics. That means that's what is above the genes. And that's the part that's fascinating to me, because in epigenetics, it's the environment that activates or deactivates a gene. And we're not stuck in it. But the environment is not just the physical environment, but is also the environment of consciousness, which is even more powerful in its influence on that genetic structure. So there are processes that you can use, one of which I describe in the book, where you can actually clear out that encoding of information, or deactivate, you might say, that information that we might have brought out genetically. I think of one woman, for example, who had had anxiety attacks all of her life. And she said one day, I think I was just born with this. And she'd had multiple years of different kinds of therapy and different approaches, none of which had worked. And I thought, well, let's just check it out and see. We did the muscle testing and said, yes, it came from two or three different genetic memories, that I call them. And we did a clearing of one of these energy meridian tapping processes on that, and brought it down to a zero of influence. The next week she came back and said, I've had the happiest week of my life. She said, I just don't have any anxiety anymore. I don't remember being free of it like this before. What she had done is deactivate those genes. Now, most people don't have things so directly related. You know, it's usually the complexity of things that we have that are causing our troubles that we need to deal with in a more comprehensive way, which is what I try to describe the broader approach in this book. But sometimes we may have something we hit it just as target, like she did. But what it proves to us is how much we can do in areas we thought we could do nothing.
Dr. Grayson, this has been just wonderful. Your book, Use Your Body to Heal Your Mind, is terrific. And I would just say, anybody listening, you should buy this for yourself, because you want to start with yourself first. And we all have issues that we can deal with. And by golly, why not see how you can take charge of your own space and then pass it along to others? You can check out Dr. Grayson's website. Go to www.henrygrayson.com, and that's HenryGrayson. Dr. Grayson, I'm so delighted that you were able to join me today. Thank you so much for being my guest. And boy, when you come out with your next book, be sure and let me know. Thank you again. Donna Sebo here. We're taking a break, and we'll be right back.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny. that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now. Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com. That's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N. And find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007. That's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Hi, this is Donna. I'm so delighted that we were able to reach Dr. Grayson. This is a man that just has this extensive background, and it's so wonderful to hear him talk about not only himself, but about other people and how they have been able to overcome things. And I just want to share with you for a moment, there were a couple members of my family that died from stomach cancer. This is a horrific thing. This is ugly. It is painful. They suffer excruciatingly. Interestingly enough, in his book, he talks about a woman by the name of Charlotte. She was diagnosed with stage 4 stomach cancer, and with his assistance, she was able to clear out the abundant traumas and belief systems that had gotten her to the point. She was doing tremendously, and then all of a sudden, she went the opposite route, and she ended up dying from this terrible, terrible disease. In his research and working with her, he said there were two very important beliefs that she had not been able to cure. She had not been able to clear them, not cure, but clear them. So they no longer had an emotional hold on her. The first one was, she said, my cold and rigid family who are now being caring and taking care of me will only love me if I'm sick. The other one was, I will not have anything meaningful in my life if I live. And when I read that about this woman's story, I thought about both of these family members that were related. It was a mother-son situation. Both of them had had all kinds of issues in their lives, had never, ever been able to face them, stuffed them down inside themselves. They both died. Similar deaths. Both suffering terribly. And you look at these things, and just, it will touch you in a way that's very special. And that's why I think his book, Use Your Body to Heal Your Mind, by Dr. Henry Grayson, is something that really should be in your library. Because when we can do for ourselves, when we can get our own house in order, then we're going to be able to be a demonstration for others as to how they can get theirs in order. This is Donna Sebo. Thank you so much for joining me today. We're going to be back on Monday, but remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Don't give that power to anyone or to anything else. It's your joyful treasure to embrace and live life with a richness and zestness that you are entitled to. Donna Sebo here. Thank you for being with me again. We'll be talking soon. Have a fabulous weekend. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.